This is my first time to the state of Oklahoma and the first time in this great church. And I stand here with much fear and trembling. Thank you, Pastor, for having me at this great pulpit. I feel so weak and unworthy, and I would appreciate your prayer. We had your pastor preaching the pastor's conference in Romania, and God had anointed him. When our pastors heard him preach, they sent me here to learn to preach like him. And they asked me to return home when I can do like he does. I'm not sure I will ever do that. So I invite you to open God's word to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And we shall focus on one verse, verse 8. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8. And before we read that verse, I invite you to join me in a journey back in time, 2,000 years. We are in Jerusalem, probably the upper room. The reason Christ is there with 11 of his disciples. And Jesus speaks to those 11 disciples and tells them, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now just imagine that you and I were one of those 11. Confronted with this command, take the gospel from here, from Jerusalem, to the ends of the earth. Two major problems right there. Problem number one, where are the ends of the earth? None of the disciples at that time knew where the ends of the earth were. Will you forgive me for reminding you that at that time, none of the disciples ever heard of Canada or Mexico or the Bahamas? Their geographical knowledge was very limited. But they were serving an unlimited God. Limited in knowledge, unlimited God in wisdom and knowledge. So no matter how limited we are serving an unlimited Almighty God. Problem number two. Suppose they knew where the ends of the earth were. How to get there? Because none of the disciples ever flew a jumbo jet. They were limited in their resources for traveling. Yet, they were serving an unlimited God. Limited in knowledge, limited in resources. Can you identify with them? I do. I'm coming from a country and we are so limited. Yet, our God is almighty, unlimited. So Jesus said, no matter how limited you are in knowledge and resources, here is the commission. Take the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. How? So what comes in this verse is the provision that Christ offered them for missions. What are the provisions? You shall receive power, person, and the plan. For this command, the power, the person, and the plan are more than enough. You shall receive power. when the Holy Spirit, the person, comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. And here is the plan. Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I invite you to look at those three provisions that Jesus offered them and see if they are available for us today. Number one, you shall receive power. Jesus was speaking to human beings like us. Have you noticed that there is something within us that we are hungry for power? Deep-seated in us, there is this desire for power. Look at two young boys that they meet for the first time in the school backyard. They want to know which one is the strongest. As we grow, this desire, hunger for power, stays with us. In 1990, shortly after communism collapsed, I was able to come for the first time to visit your country. First time in my life. History was written in pencils for that part of the world. Countries disappear overnight. Geography was changing. History was changing. So I was watching the news to find out what was going on in my part of the world. As I was browsing through the TV channels in your country, I came across something that I never saw in my lifetime. I came across one channel, and there was heavyweight wrestling championship. Friends, forgive me. I never saw something like that in my life, in my country. So there were two wrestlers talking to each other. One of them said, "Can you see this? I'm going to smash you." And the other said, "I will break your neck." Powerful people. But Jesus was not speaking about this power. Not about the power that will smash you and break your neck. But about the power that will make you. It's the power of life. This is the power of resurrection. Jesus said, "You shall receive power," and this is supernatural power. This is the power of God that works within us to set us free. This is the power for salvation. It takes supernatural power to set us free, breaks the bondage, the chain, the shackles of sin. Have you experienced that power? When suddenly, out of that bondage, out of sin, bad relationships, addiction, any kind of bondage, you are being brought to freedom. You shall see power. And this power is operating wherever the gospel is being proclaimed. Have you experienced that power for salvation that leads us into sanctification? Because as we are saved, we are being set apart, sanctified for His glory and for His work. You shall receive power for salvation, for sanctification, and to serve, to be His servant. And no matter who is in charge, in North Korea, in Russia, in Romania, or China, or anywhere, you shall receive power. They will get you through. You shall receive power. Have you experienced that power? Now, I know that some people, when they hear about the power language, they are a little uneasy because maybe you have been abused by someone's power. But the power Jesus is speaking about is a different kind of power and is wrapped up in God's love. God's love is a loving power. Let me illustrate. Back in the communist days, the communist police arrested a great man of God. He was a Christian writer. And the communists arrested him and asked him to stop writing Christian garbage. And they offered him the alternative to write literature to praise the communist philosophy and the communist achievements. This man of God said, "Gentlemen, as long as I live, I will write only for Jesus." For that crime alone, he was sentenced to jail for 17 years and a half. 17 years and a half in jail for his faith in Christ. In jail, he was tortured almost every day. But he kept writing for Jesus. When he came out from jail, there was a time when I underwent a significant time of persecution in my life and our family and the church. And at one point, I was very discouraged. So God arranged for me to visit with that man one night. It was late at night. I went to his small town in the rural part of Romania with no electricity. I knocked at his door. There was a little lamp there in the house. I walked in, and this man was bleeding. I asked him what's going on, and he told me that secret police came by his home to confiscate his manuscripts, and they tortured him. And I was angry. He looked at me and said, "Brother Paul, we are not here to get angry or to complain. We are here to praise our Jesus. Let's kneel down and pray." We knelt down. I said a few words because my heart was not filled with gratitude. I was bitter. Then he exploded in prayer. He praised God for the grace of salvation in Christ. He praised God for the joy of suffering for him. And he continued to pray and ask God to bless his torturers. Now, when he asked God to bless his torturers, I opened my eyes. I look at him to see if he is mentally okay. "Can you pray for your torturer?" He finished his prayer. We stood up. He looked at me and said, "Let me tell you something. Whenever they torture me," I looked straight into the eyes of my torturer and told him, "Sir, I want you to know that I love you. And Jesus loves you. And sir, one day we shall see each other before the throne of judgment. Even on that day, I want you to remember that I love you and Jesus loves you. If you spend eternity separated from God, it's not because I hate you, but because you reject love. Jesus is love and my love. I love you, sir." Can you imagine this love language with the one who tortures you? One night, in 1988, the very same secret police officer came by his home in that rural area, walked in, looked at him and said, "Sir, tonight I'm not here to torture you, but I came to let you know that we shall see each other before the throne of judgment." And said, "Sir, we will be on the same side. Because through your love and testimony, I came to know Christ and his love, and I gave my life to Jesus. Before I meet you up there, I came to ask your forgiveness and kneel down and pray with you down here." They knelt down and pray. "You shall receive power." Do you have this power? Would you like to have it? You may ask, "How can I get this power?" Well, I'm glad you ask. Because the power comes with the person. You shall receive power when you receive the person. God's power is not impersonal power. It is the power of God that comes with God's person. And you receive the power when you receive the Holy Spirit, and you receive the Holy Spirit when you receive Christ, and you have great preaching here, and I will not dwell on the doctrines because Dr. Ramage is a great theologian. But we know that we receive the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ. And when we have the person, we have the power, but the person is in charge. Tells us how to use the power. When and how? When we have the power, we are no longer alone. We are not confused. We are not living lost in this world. We have the person. Let me illustrate that again. back to the communist Romania. Another man of God was arrested for his faith in Christ. He was a pastor. And because he didn't quit preaching, he was sentenced to jail for 14 years. 14 years in jail. 2 years out of those 14, he was in solitary confinement. Now imagine that, 2 years alone in darkness. While there, he had a very strange approach. Every day he thought was a day, he had a way of counting there alone in darkness. Every day he did something like this. Closed his eyes, quoted a scripture from his memory, and he preached a sermon to his congregation. They were not there, but he could see them in his mind. And he preached them a sermon. Eventually, when he came out from jail, he wrote some of those sermons, and the book is available in English with this title, With God in Solitary Confinement. The author is Richard Wurmbrand, Romanian martyr for Christ. While in solitary confinement, at one point, this man of God felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to sing a song. Well, I enjoyed the great music here. But he was alone in the communist jail. He was there in solitary confinement to sing a song there. The prompting was so powerful that he couldn't resist. So he began to sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Without knowing, in the other room, there was another prisoner, non-Christian, at the end of himself. And that person was reflecting to commit suicide because he could no longer cope with the conditions there. At that moment, he heard the music and the words, "Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." His heart was arrested. Can somebody sing about the foretaste of glory divine in this place of hell? Is there something that I'm missing? I must press on and find out. So he abandoned his plan to commit suicide. Press on. Months later, both prisoners were transferred to another wing of the prison. Now in that part, the inmates were allowed to walk for 20 minutes twice a week in the backyard of the prison. First day, when they were allowed to walk for 20 minutes in the backyard, not knowing each other, in shackles, in the line, walking in silence, and our brother had again the prompting to sing the song. He was scared. He was hesitant. "If I sing here, they will kick me back there." But the prompting was so powerful that he couldn't resist it. So he decided not to sing with his voice, but to whistle the tune of the song. So as they marched there, he began to whistle, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." And the other inmate was just ahead of him. He recognized the tune and said, "Have you been in solitary confinement?" "Yes, I've been." "Are you the one who sang this song some months ago?" "Yes, I did." "Thank you for saving my life. Tell me the story." And our brother whispered the gospel as they marched there. That person was saved in the backyard of a communist jail. You shall receive power when you receive the person. Do you have that relationship with the person? Do you walk in obedience? You shall receive power when you receive the person. And what is next? Here is the plan. God has a global plan for all his family, for all his church, to take the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. That's the global plan. But he has the personal plan for each one of us. Have you discovered God's plan for your life? Have you discovered your place in this great plan that God has? It's such a blessing to have a plan And to know that we are in the center of God's will for our lives. 1989. Communism collapsed in Eastern Europe. What a day for us. After 70 years in the Soviet Union, 45 years in Romania, suddenly overnight we came to political freedom. It was amazing. 400 million people, 11 time zones from Siberia to Albania, free overnight. Just to realize that political freedom, as great as it is not enough. Because people can be politically free and spiritually lost and in bondage. So we ask God, we pray and say, Lord, give us the plan. This is a great day. We came together, we pray. And God gave us this plan. Number one, evangelism. Only when the Son of God will set us free, we will be free indeed. So we focus on evangelism, personal evangelism, church-based evangelism, and we pray for mass evangelism. We pray and we got together to have a crusade, the first evangelistic crusade in the history of Romania. We targeted a soccer stadium in one of the leading cities of Romania. We got prepared. We had the choir. We had the orchestra. We have the counselors. We have the ushers. We had everything was in place, and the great day came. And that morning it began to rain heavily. So we pray all the day long that God will stop the rain, clear the sky, and the people will come and hear the gospel. And we kept praying and praying. At 5 o'clock p.m., 1 hour before the crusade was about to start, do you know what happened? Absolutely nothing. It continued to rain. We were so disappointed. So with the evangelists that we invited, we took a taxi cab, go by the soccer stadium just in case someone will show up and tell that person, sorry, we cannot have the crusade because it's downpouring, but please do come tomorrow night. When we got there, we couldn't believe our eyes. Over 60,000 people standing in the rain to hear the gospel. We were trembling. We walk on that platform and we shouted the gospel to 60,000 people, presenting the way of salvation. And then the evangelist said, now if you understood the way of salvation, if you are ready to open your heart and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, please come forward because we want to pray with you. And the whole stadium began to move forward. The evangelist was a little confused, didn't know what I said in Romanian. So he said, hold on, hold on, hold on. He went all over again. Explained the gospel, the message of salvation, as clear as possible. Said, now if you are ready, please come forward. And the crowd came forward crying out to God for mercy. As they were marching on that field underwater, downpouring, I look at the evangelist and I said, isn't our God awesome? These people are saved and baptized in the same second. Well, you see, I'm a Baptist pastor and I want to see them wet. And they were all wet. We saw the hunger. After 45 years of atheism, there was that such a deep hunger. So we decided to go on Romanian television and ask time to present the gospel to the Romanian people through the television. And we were given half an hour every day, Monday to Friday, on Romanian television. At that time, Romania had only one national channel. One channel for the whole nation. What a blessing. No fight at home over channels. On that one channel, every night, we had the Bible reading program. And the response was beyond imagination. Up to 30,000 letters every day. Across the nation, telling us that they have seen the program. How can they get a Bible? Where is the church? How can they get saved? So we showed the hunger. Step number two, church planting. So we started a church planting program throughout the nation. And hundreds and thousands of new churches were planted. What a great day to discover that all those churches had no leadership. No pastors, no trained Sunday school teachers, no deacons, no leadership. So we decided to go step number three. Start a theological seminary and train a new generation of pastors and evangelists and teachers for these churches. So we started Emmanuel Seminary at Emmanuel Church in Oradea, Romania. When we started the seminary, I went to Bucharest to the Secretary of State for Education to register the school as an officially registered theological school in the land, because now we are a free country. I met the gentleman, explained him how many churches we have, how many pastors we need. As he listened to me, he said, "Mr. Negruz, we need your help in a different matter. The public schools of Romania are short of over 25,000 teachers. Most of the vacancies are in rural area. It takes a missionary to go to one of those places and work there as school teachers. But we, with our public universities, cannot train missionaries. You can. Why do you want to have just a seminary and not a university? Why don't you let your students take double major? Theology, literature, theology, history, theology, music, math, whatever you like. They will be your missionaries and our teachers." What a great day. I went home and told my colleagues, "This is a great day. Let's start a university." It was a great beginning because we had nothing to start the school with. No campus, no faculty, no budget, no library. Well, we had a library. And with this library, we started Emmanuel University of Oradea, Romania. As soon as we started the school, we opened the door and welcomed students from the former Soviet countries. We welcomed students from other parts of the world. And today, Emmanuel University of Oradea, Romania is the only conservative, evangelical, fully accredited university on the continent of Europe. The only one. By God's grace. And Dr. Ramage came and he taught and he preached for us. He can tell you more about it. Now you may ask, if you have that school, what is your plan? We have 2,800 graduates serving in 40 countries of the world, going to take the gospel because there is power, there is a person, there is a plan. You may ask, how did you manage to build a university coming out from a poor Romanian country? Let me tell you another story. Back in the communist days, the communists arrested hundreds and hundreds of pastors, and one night they brought six of them in one prison cell, and they were together after years of suffering and torture. When they saw each other, they were full of joy. And they realized that that day was Easter Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday. And one of them said, "What a great joy to be together on this Resurrection Sunday. Let's celebrate the Lord's Supper together." And another one in the group said, "Well, that will be great, but we have nothing to celebrate the Lord's Supper with. Why don't we postpone until we get something?" And another one said, "We cannot postpone because we do not know if there will be another day for us. Let's celebrate the Lord's Supper with nothing." So you know what they did? They formed a circle. One of them took nothing. He blessed nothing. Broke nothing. Gave each and every one of them nothing. They ate nothing. Remembering the body of Christ that was broken for our sins. Another one took nothing. He blessed nothing. Went to each and every one of them and poured nothing. They drank nothing. Celebrating the blood of the new covenant. Heaven came down, full of joy. They prayed together. And that night, they were separated. And for the years to come, they haven't met us, each other again in jail. Eventually, some of them came out from prison. One Sunday, I had two of them on our platform at Emmanuel Church. And they told us this story. And they said, do you know what was the greatest lesson we learned that day? We learned that nothing is raw material for God. Because our God created the whole world out of nothing. So they said, whenever you have nothing, give it to God. And out of your nothing, He is building up His kingdom. We gave our nothing to God. Others joined us. And from our nothing, under God's providence and blessings, the kingdom is growing and is expanding. Now you may ask, why have you come all the way here to Quail Baptist Church? I came for two reasons. Number one, to plead with you to pray for us. Put us on your prayer list. Because the job is not done yet. There's so much to go. So many more to train. So many people to reach. Please do pray for us. Reason number two. To ask you from all my heart to consider allowing your pastor to come once a year for 1 week, to teach intensive courses for our students and preach for us. Because we want the best of God's kingdom to invest in our students. Consider allow him for 1 week. He can fly on Friday from here, get there on Saturday, preach on Sunday, teach Monday to Thursday, fly back on Friday. He is Friday night back at home. Saturday he rests up. Sunday he's on the platform. All of you in favor, look at me. Thank you very much. Unanimous vote, pastors. So you are under the church obligation. Back to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Negroots. Church, have you been blessed by this message today? God is so good. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. And we are thankful to God for you. What a blessing. I've had opportunity now twice to be on the campus of Emmanuel University and also once to preach at Emmanuel Church. And God's spirit is so evident in that place, and God is working. God has used Dr. Negroots and those who serve with him in such a mighty, mighty way. I loved what he said to us today. God can take our nothing, and that's the raw material with which God creates everything. It reminds me that when we come to Jesus Christ, we bring him nothing but our sin. And he's done everything that needs to be done for us to be saved. He gives us his gift of eternal life. He saves us. And he changes our lives forever. Some of you are here today. And right now you would say, I don't have anything to bring to God. I have nothing to bring to God. Praise the Lord. That's all you have to bring him. You just bring him nothing but your sin. And he'll save you and he'll give you his gift of eternal life. Some of you are here today and you say, I have nothing to serve the Lord with. You just bring him your nothingness and he'll take you. He'll take your available life as you make yourself available to him, and he'll use you mightily for his glory. I praise God for the message that we've heard today. Right now, I want to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Just take a moment with me as we pray and come before the Lord. Father in heaven, how we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for what we have heard and what we've experienced. We thank you, Lord, for our brother, Dr. Paul Negroots. Thank you, Lord, for the way you have used him, the way you are using him. And Lord, we know that you have good things, great things for him in store in the days to come. Lord, we do pray together for Emmanuel University and for students who are coming there to train, to prepare, to teach and to pastor churches and to make a difference for the sake of the gospel. Thank you, God, for how you have worked. And you've taken nothing and you've transformed it into something glorious through the power of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray for those in this room who are here today who need to be saved. Lord, I thank you that everything that needs to be done for us to be saved was accomplished when Jesus died on that cross. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that today you promised to save everyone who calls on your name. So, Father, right now I pray that you would speak to men and women and young people and boys and girls under the sound of my voice who today need to be saved. And, Lord, show them right now how much they need you and how much you love them, that today they might turn to Christ. Now, in this quiet moment before God, I ask you, do you know for sure that you've been saved? Do you know just as surely as you're sitting here right now that you have a home in heaven when you die? Because one day you're going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And all that's going to matter is whether you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. He promises that He'll save you today if you call on His name. And you can call on His name by praying a very simple prayer in your heart. You pray it in your heart as I pray it out loud. You can just pray it like this. Just pray this. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe that you're God's Son. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. Jesus, right now I turn from my sin and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to give me your gift of eternal life, Jesus. Save me right now. Save me now, Jesus, and I'll follow you. For I pray this, Jesus, in your holy name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. I'll be here at the front. Other ministers will be here at the front as well, waiting for you. Today, if you pray that prayer with me, I'm inviting you to step out of your seat, walk down one of these aisles, and all you have to tell us is, I prayed that prayer. That's all you need to say. We have some people here who want to talk to you and pray with you and help you take your next steps with Jesus. But the first step is just for you to step out of your seat, walk down one of these aisles, and tell us, I prayed that prayer. I'm praying that you'll come today. Others of you are here today and God has spoken to your heart about your service to the Lord. He's shown you today that He can work in every circumstance for your good and for His glory as you trust in Him. And so I invite you to come. Maybe you want to come and pray at these steps and just dedicate yourself anew to the Lord. Or maybe you need one of us to pray with you. We're here to pray with you today. Father, we give this time of invitation to you. Lord, I pray for people to come. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we stand and as we sing. You come. If you prayed that prayer with me today, you come. Or if you'd like to pray with us about some need in your life, you come as we sing.
There is a place of quiet.